St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, children, we, on this cold morning, the last day of February, we go in spirit to an interesting church in Rome on the other side of the Tiber River. Their region is called from the Italian Trastevere, which means across the Tiber. And there we go to visit Our Lady's oldest church in Rome. We often hear about this in October on the feast day of St. Callistus, the 14th of that month, because St. Callistus was the pope who founded this church in honor of Our Lady. There was a miracle that took place there. Remember, there was a sort of a, there was a font of pure, clear oil that came out of the ground. And the pagans knew that that was something about a prophecy, about the coming of a savior who would be born of a virgin. And so this tavern, that's what it was, kind of a bar cafe, was bought by the pope and then turned instead into a church, the site of this miraculous oil, so the pagans could understand about our Lord being born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Well, the pagan union that controlled the cafes or the bars back then, they didn't like the idea that the Catholic Church was turning one of their properties into a church, and so they had a riot, and they attacked the poor Pope, St. Callistus, and I think he was thrown down a well, and he had his neck broken. In any case, it's remained as a church for the Blessed Mother even to this very day. I was reading this morning about a priest who had not his neck broken, but his leg, and it was a very, very bad break. And it was so bad that he would have to have surgery. And because he came into the hospital after the surgery schedule had already been made up, he would, as we often have to in life, he would have to wait his turn to be operated on, and it hurt very much. And so there he was in his hospital bed, this priest was, and there was a clock. And the nurse, who was coming and going and taking care of him and things, noticed that he was staring at the clock and all sort of antsy and nervous because he was constantly thinking, oh, I wish 5 o'clock would come. When is it going to be 5 o'clock? It's still 9 o'clock in the morning. How long do I still have to wait? And so finally, the nurse took the clock down from the wall and she put it away in a drawer. And she said, well, that way, Father, if you don't see it, you won't worry about it. And it was probably a good lesson for the priest to wait patiently, as indeed we know that we must in life. But what I want you to think about today, children, is that idea, if you don't see it, you won't worry about it. That's how Lazarus was and dives in today's gospel. We just sang this nice long hymn that tells the story of the gospel of Lazarus. That was the name of the poor man who was covered with sores and had nothing to eat. And then the rich man, dives, is just the English pronunciation of the Latin word for a rich man, dives. He every day had a big party in his house for all of his friends, and they ate the very finest food and off the best china, and they had drinks and steaks on the grill every day and dessert and anything they wanted to drink. And nobody ever even saw the poor man, poor Lazarus, who was lying in the gutter on the street in front of this man's house by the gate to his front yard. No one ever saw him, and so no one ever worried about him. And then, of course, our Lord tells the story that, well, they both died. And when the poor man died, who had been so patient in his suffering, he went straight to heaven. And when the rich man died, who never even noticed the poor man in the street, that even the dogs used to come and lick his wounds, but he never did anything to help him, well, then he went to hell. And that's a strong, severe lesson of today's story about not noticing those who are in need. Now, St. Teresa always noticed those who were in need, and she was always the first to go to them and to help them out. So we've been hearing lots of stories about that, haven't we, about a disagreeable sister who was always in a bad mood, and she would sit next to her when they had their talking time, their recess after meals, and she would try to always cheer her up, or that other sister who was in the laundry and no one would volunteer to work with her, but St. Teresa did, or to take care of the sick. There was this one, there for a number of months, there was an older sister who couldn't walk by herself anymore. She couldn't see very well. And she was a very difficult character. And remember, it was St. Teresa's job to guide her by her the belt that she wore on her habit, to guide her and help her down the dark hallway so at night she could find her way to the supper table. And all this sister did was to complain. You're going too fast. Oh, I'm going to fall down. Oh, why are you so slow? Go faster. Things like that. And St. Teresa did her best for the love of our Lord to help this sister and then get her settled at the table. And then I think she even sometimes would cut up her food for her because she noticed she couldn't work the knife and the fork very well herself. Well, as she was doing this one night, she heard off in the distance from the city, because they lived, their convent was right in town, she heard off in the distance the sound of music. Maybe it was the piano playing in somebody's house. And all of a sudden, that made her remember the good old days of living in a beautiful house that was warm and well heated and having plenty of to eat, and everybody was nicely dressed and everyone was very sweet and very polite and very proper in their speech. And then she looked back at the convent, the bare brick walls of the cloister hallway, and instead of the beautiful fun conversation, the complaints of this old sister whom she could never make happy. And instead of the gay sound of music, then there was the quiet silence of the cloister. And she thought to herself, "Dear Lord, I wouldn't trade what I have right now for anything," because she knew she was serving our Lord and making him happy and taking care of our Lord in some one sister who really needed that help. That's how we have to try to be children. We mustn't put our clock away in the drawer. That is to say, we have to notice other people. We have to notice situations or things where we could do a little something to help for the love of our Lord. Not always to be thinking of ourselves, not always to be thinking of fun, but to think of others. That's one of the great lessons of Lent and one of the great lessons, children, of the Christian life and, of course, the lives of the saints. So, what could you do to see or to notice? Sometimes, it's not that we mean to be bad, but at that time, we never even notice it. And we think to ourselves later, maybe, "Oh, I could have said something nice." Or, "Oh, I could have bent over and picked up that dirty Kleenex on the floor. Probably one of the teachers is going to do it, or Mr. Dale or Mr. Eldon, but I could help them out by doing it myself now. I could go back and clean something up. I could offer when I get home tonight to Mom. What could I do to help?" There are lots of different ways that children never see. Let's ask our Lord to give us at Mass today, along with Holy Mass and Holy Communion, communion with a capital C, to give us a good dose of vitamin C, not with a capital C, but S-E-E. "Dear Lord, may I see." "See what, my child?" "Well, just one thing that I could do for love of thee. Vitamin C for love of thee. That will be my plan for this day in Lent." Open your eyes, children. See all day long something you could do for others. Don't be like the rich man. He never did see poor Lazarus there in the street. Let's be like St. Teresa and open our eyes all day long, really, to different things that I could do for little things, not big ones, little things, but for love of Jesus. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.